Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is Michelle Murray, and I am your host for Shell's 3 Cents, where ordinary people face their interests, curiosities, and fears by engaging in witty and sometimes downright funny dialogue. Got some sad news to report on several fronts today. Governor Jerry Brown has, in fact, had to declare a state of emergency for San Bernardino County. More than 82,000 residents have already been evacuated, and they expect that number to possibly double. More than 1,500 acres have already been burned, and the main freeway to Las Vegas has been closed. So we'll keep those folks in our prayers. Now, about an hour ago, an armed 18-year-old was fatally shot by the Los Angeles Police Department. Apparently, he'd been stopped for a traffic violation, and then he whipped out a handgun and began firing upon the officers, and witnesses do corroborate this. So our prayers go to all of those involved in that mess as well. Now, on a lighter note, if you haven't heard, Roscoe's over on Pico is getting a new home. It'll soon be housed at the intersections of Washington and La Brea. Now, I know some of you say that's kind of a sketchy location, and it's really busy, and it's difficult, and there's no parking and all these other things, but that new location is much larger, and it will accommodate every single one of you diehard fans, and I do believe there's going to be on-site parking, so that's the bonus. Now, just a reminder, California has done away with religious and personal exemptions to vaccinations for school. So what does this mean to you and your kiddos? In a nutshell, it's going to mean no vaccines, no school. And if there's no school, then you parents are going to get large fines for every single day your kiddos miss. So you can check with your doctor to find out what shots are required in your area. Now, something I saw in the news this morning I thought was quite interesting. It seems that there's a tiny unseen force that could potentially alter our basic understanding of the universe, if it really exists. Theoretical physicists over at UC Irvine, they say they have found evidence for a fifth fundamental force of nature. And this is carried by a particle that until now has pretty much gone totally unnoticed. Previously, there have been four known forces that govern the interactions of matter. We've got gravitation, electromagnetism, and then we've got the strong and the weak nuclear forces. So this new one, it's pretty interesting, and they say it's so enormous it's on the scale of a galaxy cluster. Anyway, if you want to read some more about UC Irvine's research on that fifth force, check out our website, or also check out the front page of the LA Times today. Now, for today's guest, I'm pretty excited. He's a really special guest for me. Like my own child, he grew up in a military lifestyle, and he could easily consider a number of corners of this globe his home. He currently resides in Boston, where he studies music. And let me tell you, he has a voice from heaven. Texas Hart, thank you for joining us today. Well, maybe we're having some technical difficulties. It's showing him up on the board. Texas, are you there?
Michelle?
Well, no worries. There he is. Texas, you're there on the line?
Yep. Can you hear me?
Awesome. Now we can hear you. Panicked for just a little bit. Thought we didn't have you in the queue. Well, how are you? Thank you for joining us today.
Good afternoon. I'm excited to be here as well, and thank you so much for having me on.
Great, great. Well, do me a favor. Take a second and give our listeners a little background on yourself.
Sure. My name is Texas Hart. Originally born and raised in Honolulu, Hawaii, moved to El Paso a few years ago, and then now currently reside in Boston, where I go to Berklee College of Music. I study songwriting. Over the past few months, I've been working on some music, and I'm really excited to see the final products of it and, release it.
And I'll let you in on a little secret. I'm a little bit excited for you as well. Like I said to everybody, Texas has this golden voice, and he can He's great because he moves across genres, which is highly unusual in today's world as well. But you know what? I want to play a little bit of a song. He's working on an album, but I want to play just a little bit of your song, Wipe That Frown, if that's all right with you, Texas.
I am totally okay with that, Miss Murray.
All right, so this is his song, Wipe That Frown.
Happy
it'll soon
birthday,
be
Kendall. Baby, hang on real tight. You look a little tired, baby. Go ahead and hide.
Go, go. Music is so incredible, bro. Got you fucked up. You rock my boat, bro. I can't admit it. Sam Smith, you're going la, 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 la.
Oh, oh, ah. Oh, oh, oh. You don't even know what the do, do, do. Music got you high like a ju-ju-jun. But you got the reason why you're fighting the beat. I said, ah. Oh, oh, ah. Oh, oh, oh. You don't even know what the do, do, do. Music got you hot, say, ah. Cool, cool, cool. But you got the reason why you're fighting the beat.
What the fuck? Who is that guy? He is so trash and so gross. Like, are you kidding me? That's offensive on every
level.
Wipe That Frown, everybody, from Texas Heart. Now, I know some of you are going to say, oh, that's not quite my style, but the amazing part is Texas sings ballads, too, and a whole bunch of other things. But Texas, I'm curious, what inspired you to write that song, Wipe That Frown?
Well, I guess it's sort of an anthem to the haters, you know? I guess to put it that way. But, I have this ability to to put something really nice together as far as music goes. And so, like, I had the idea of, you know, why don't I make a song that would be so good that even if you did not like me, like, even if you just listening to it would be enough to, you know, at least just to dance and to move your body and to, you know, be happy that you're listening to the music, because that's really what it's all about.
Yeah, that's definitely a dance tune too. Yeah, you're right. I can't imagine anything weighing on somebody that doesn't melt away after listening to that song for just a few minutes. So great job with that. So you're working on a whole album of songs, a collection of songs, or tell us about that.
It's been about 6 months or so in the process. Just starting to see the final stages of it. Everything's kind of been increasing exponentially. I'm very excited for I'm very excited for the very near future, Miss Murray, I have to tell you.
Yay, we're excited for you too. We're excited for you too. Let me ask you, who do you listen to? What's on your playlist?
Oh man, well, recently I have not stopped listening to Kanye West, surprisingly.
Really?
I have to say, like, regardless of the, you know, the controversy surrounding it, I really do believe the song "Famous" and the music video are very artistic. I remember first listening to it and first watching the video and just being moved as an artist, and ultimately kind of made me appreciate my music more and want me to do better as an artist myself.
That's interesting. I'll have to check him out. Now, don't tell the Kardashians, but I'm not a Kanye fan. I can't even tell you what he's saying. But that's interesting that you point out he's creative. So Kanye owes you a thank you, because I'll check him out and see.
because of what you said.
Mm-hmm. What other music projects do you have going on? Are you doing stuff at school or?
Well, I mean, besides the album, I actually will be starring in Berklee's production of In the Heights this coming fall. I'll be playing the role of Sonny, so that'll be something very exciting to look forward to. So if you're in the Boston area, gets the chance. Yep, absolutely. Come check it out.
Mm-hmm. That's cool. That'll be fun. Hey, so let me tell you, people always they have this image that musicians are like these nonstop partiers. What would you tell somebody that has that assumption? Is it more hard work or more party?
Well, it ultimately comes down to who the artist is themselves. I mean, that's really what's exciting about being a musician, is that I've got so much potential I could sway left or right, and you know that's the power of trying to just trying to make sure you're someone who goes out all the time and parties and stuff. But you know, and I really do believe that there are more good people than bad people. It's just that, you know, when the bad people are the only people being publicized, or you know, I'm not exactly sure what word I'm looking for, but
I got you.
I don't believe that there's a whole partying thing to the youth and to music, and I just believe that, like, as someone in my youth, I really enjoy, you know, living for the moment and making really good memories. Like, just over the past few months, really, it's just been an incredible ride throughout everything, just like building this music and building new relationships with people. You know, it's, and I don't know. I don't think the partying thing is a major thing in my generation, or at least not as much as it may seem to be.
That's another interesting perspective. That's a very interesting perspective. Let me ask you this: who would you say has been your biggest mentor? You know, whether it's you might have somebody, you know, in your personal circle that's a mentor, or maybe even an artist that you kind of look up to. But who would you say has influenced you probably the most?
Back at Hank's, I was in student council, and my student activity director, Vicky DeLoach, she has been such a leadership figure for me. You know, she's taught me really about strength and how to keep your character, even though, like, things may get stressful or weird. But I really do appreciate Miss Vicky DeLoach from El Paso, Texas.
And that's
so
somebody from high school?
Yeah, she was my student activities director for the student council.
Okay. Okay. Well, shout out to Mr. Loach for inspiring Texas to go off and do bigger and better things. Yeah, shout out. You know, let me ask you, have you ever participated in a project and then almost instantly regretted it or wished you hadn't done it later?
Really, no. I try not to have regrets, but I mean, like, you know, there are some decisions I wish I had done differently. But, I mean, ultimately, mm-hmm. you know, all the decisions that I made have led me up to this exact point in time right now, and I'm very excited. I'm very happy of where I'm at right now, and I'm very excited for, you know, where I'm going.
Okay. You know, Eric Fromm used to have a lot to say about musicians, and one of his things was musicians could look so deeply into the world and respond so deeply because they were sad often. What saddens you?
That is an interesting question. What saddens Texas Heart? I would think that probably one of the biggest things that saddens me is when people lose hope, because hope is such a core value to being a human being. And so when people lose sight of that, you know, it kind of, and that does not feel good when you lose hope. And I would say that probably saddens me the most.
Absolutely. And there's so many ways people lose hope anymore. So yeah, I absolutely agree with that. You know, it's also been said about musicians that in their work, they're constantly looking to find the truth. You know, whatever the truth is about this or that. How do you know when you're in possession of the truth about something?
How do I know when I'm in possession of the truth?
Or some great truth, some big ominous truth that's life-changing or really is going to have an impact upon the world.
Well, I...
Or maybe you haven't discovered anything like that yet.
I have to say, Miss Murray, yeah, like I don't believe we ever can and will be in full possession of the truth. Like, you know, that's, yeah, you brought up a really good point that, you know, us as artists, we have to strive for finding a greater truth. And a lot of what I talk about on my album is, you know, I take some of my personal situations that have happened in, you know, in the past few years, and I kind of, instead of, you know, sulking and, you know, doing whatever I could be doing, I try to take the opportunity to reflect my life against, you know, maybe someone that lives on the other side of the world, and like how their life and how their pain reflects on my pain and vice versa. And, you know, try to just build a better understanding for this world. But I don't believe we can ever be in a true possession of the truth. I think that we can do everything we can to get very close, and we can get as close as we can possibly get, but we'll never like absolutely get there. But that, hey, human spirit, man, I love the searching and discovering and all of it.
Absolutely, that journey's amazing. I agree with you, and no matter what form of art anybody endeavors in, whether it's singing or dancing or whatever, or just their spirituality or whatever it is, yeah, I absolutely agree with you. That's an amazing journey. Okay, so let me ask you this. If you had the opportunity to sing one or two lines from your favorite ballad for an A&R at one of the big record companies, which ballad would it be?
My favorite two lines?
Two or three lines.
A song called
And you
Tell
had the
Lori
opportunity to sing.
It's a song called Tell Lori I Love Her by Keith Whitley. It's one of my favorite songs, and it's one of my favorite songs to sing. And so, you know, I think that would be really nice.
What makes it one of your favorite songs?
Well, it's actually my parents' wedding song. So, surprisingly, I actually found out something, Miss Murray, if you'd like to hear a little story.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So my dad and my mom met in Hawaii, you know, which is, you know, where I was born. And my dad proposed to my mother within 3 days of meeting her.
Wow.
Yeah,
and now 20-something years later, how long are they married?
Oh, yeah, 26 years.
That is beautiful.
So,
and you have really
yeah,
beautiful parents, too. So if they're listening, Mr. and Mrs. Hart, you guys are beautiful, and you've done well with all of your beautiful kids.
Yes, they
that
are.
Is one thing that I really respect your parents for. I think they have definitely been the model of what right looks like and the model of encouragement and persistence for you guys. So hats off.
I split the part about my parents. Like, I obviously, I love my parents to death. I would do anything and absolutely everything for them. And I think one of the best aspects of my parents is because they both come from two different worlds, you know? Like, my dad grew up in, you know, a not very populated town in Texas, and my mom grew up in Western Samoa, which is, you know, a country in Polynesia. Like, and for them, for two different worlds to come together and to still be going so strong, you know, it's such a symbol of compassion for me. Yeah, it really is. That is the ultimate role model relationship for me, at least personally. I know everybody has their choices, but as just like just thinking about that is something incredible. And I'm the youngest of seven
absolutely.
Children. So that's
oh wow, and that makes it even more incredible. It does. That makes it even more incredible. That's great. Yeah, and that you know, and that's definitely something that's going to help you. No matter what you do in life, to have that solid family foundation and those role models. So, you know, that will definitely carry you away. So my next question, or my last question before we end this interview,
okay.
Would you mind singing a couple lines of that song? Sing it for your
Tell
peers.
Tell Lori I love her.
And my listeners. Absolutely.
All right.
Just a few lines.
I will sing Tell Lori I love her for you.
All right.
I'll sing the chorus. But... Tell Lori I love her. Tell Lori I need her. Tell her everything would be okay if I could just see her. Tell Lori I love her. Tell Lori I need her. And if I leave this whole world, tell her she's the only girl for me.
And there you have
there you
that was Texas Hart, ladies and gentlemen. And Texas, before we wrap up, tell my listeners, how can they find you? How can they get a hold of you? Are you on Facebook or do you have a website? How do they find you?
Well, you guys can look me up on Twitter, Instagram, at the Texas Hart. And you guys should be looking out for the music very, very, very soon. It'll be very
exciting. And we hope you let us debut something here on this show with our listeners.
Thank you so much. This has been so much fun. Thank you so much for your
Thanks.
Time, Miss Murray.
Absolutely. You have a great day, Texas. Thanks so much.
Likewise.
Now, for the rest of you, this is the 39th anniversary of Al. I've been showcasing different interviews, so you can hear from him in his own words the last few days. So if you've missed that over the last couple of days, here's an interview from Elvis just for you.
Interview number 3 took place in the Warwick Hotel in New York City. Record a date with March 24th, 1956.
Elvis, how you feel?
Well, I feel real good.
Well, how about that recording you went to make for your mother? Is that the way it happened?
Yes, that's exactly the way it all started.
What was it going to be of? What record were you going to make for it?
Oh, well, I made the record. In fact, we still have the record at home. It's so thin. But the record I made was by Happiness. And one of the H-Spots numbers.
Was this for a birthday present for your mother?
I did it. See, I work 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. And then on Saturday, well, I called this recording company up, and I asked them, could they make another record? You know, they make personal dose for weddings and things like that.
I mean, was it for any special occasion?
No, nothing. I just made it for fun.
Was it for your mother, or just for the fun?
No, I made it. You know, to surprise her. She never played it.
Yeah.
It was me singing. And,
well, have you done much singing around before then?
No, I never did. Never did sing anywhere much in my life. The only time I ever saw maybe was on a little variety show at school, maybe once every 4 years or something.
Did you have your guitar with you on this record?
Yes, I had a little $12 guitar. Sounded like somebody beating on a bucket lid or something.
Yeah. Did you do anything more with electricity?
No, I don't. I give it up completely. In fact, I was, during the time I was, working for the electric company, I was in doubts whether I would ever make it or not because you have to keep your mind, you know, right on what you're doing, and you can't be in the least bit absent-minded or you ought to blow somebody's house up. You know? I didn't think I was the type for it, really, but I was going to give it a try, you know. I was going to devote all the time I could to learning.
What kind of truck were you driving?
I was driving a little Dodge pickup.
What sort of business was it in?
Well, it was an electric business. You see, what I was doing, I was driving a truck, and every once in a while, they would be short of help on one of the jobs. I would deliver material to the different locations, whether they were wiring houses or building something, you know. And sometimes they would let me help wire or something.
How much did you earn?
It was about early.
Yeah.
About 40 a week.
You were at that how long?
I was there about 6 months. Of course, you know, electricians make much more money than that, but that's when I started out there.
What kind of hobbies have you got outside of riding a motorcycle?
Well,
and girls.
Well, I wouldn't call it a hobby, but it's a pastime. I like motorcycle riding, I like water skiing.
You get pretty much water skiing?
I do during the summer. Quite a bit.
Is there a lake then?
Yes.
You don't fool around with a hi-fi rig at home or anything?
No,
you don't have time for it now.
How about your motorcycle? Do you do any racing on it or just no?
No, I don't do any racing on it. Whenever I'm home, when it's kind of warm. Of course, a motorcycle is not made for the wintertime at all. But I get a thrill out of just riding.
You just go out by yourself, you don't want to do it?
No, I don't want to do it. I'm not home enough for that. I just take my friends riding or something.
You don't wear a black leather jacket?
Yeah, I do, because that's just that's part of it.
Yeah. What else is part of it? You have to do a big belt?
I don't know that. I usually wear black jacket and a black cap.
You like that song? Black leather jacket?
You like the old trousers?
What do you think is the greatest country and western singer alive today?
I like Sonny James. I couldn't mention all of them.
Yeah. Like them all, huh?
In other words, I like anybody that, I admire anybody that's good, you know? Regardless of what kind of a singer they are, whether they're religious, rhythm and blues, hillbilly, or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
If they're great, I mean, I like them from Roy, couple like Mario Alonso. I just admire them. They're really great.
Yeah.
They have really built a name for themselves.
Mm-hmm. How about religious singing yourself? Do you do some of that on your personal appearances?
Not on my personal appearances, I don't, because I have out so many records, and usually, as a rule, our show is timed so that I don't even get to do half of my records.
Mm-hmm.
So,
do you think you might do a religious album sometime?
We have talked about it. Mm-hmm. Victory. In other words, I think that I might get a completely different following if I did.
Mm-hmm.
Get some new followers, man.
What kind of music do you listen to outside of the country and western and blues?
Pop. What's the nation?
What do you think is your favorite singer?
In any field?
Yeah. One you most admire.
It's a pretty hard question to answer. I'm going to...
Oh, yeah.
Frank Sinatra.
Did you ever listen to any opera or concerts or what's at home in your church?
No, I like Mario Lanza. I like anything he records.
Is that Serenade open yet?
I don't know when it's open yet.
What's your favorite of your own songs?
I Was the One.
I Was the One, yes. Is that on the album?
Put it outside of Harvard, okay.
How do you like the album?
Well, I like the way it's selling.
Yeah.
But there's three or four pretty good numbers in it.
Which do you like best?
Out of the album?
Yeah.
It's one called One Sided Love Affair.
Is that on the Fast Ones?
Yeah, it's Fast.
Yeah. Do you like the Fast Ones better than the Balance usually?
With me singing them, I do.
That's what I mean.
But as far as my own listening pleasure, I'm really listening to somebody else sing a ballad. A really beautiful ballad, something like I'll Be Home. But now me singing that, I could do it.
Well, your fans seem to like the Fast Ones the best too, I think.
Well, any audience, as a rule, they go for a fast number.
Yeah.
A moving number on stage. In fact, I don't know about other people, but me, I'll get on stage and I'll do two or three fast ones and I'll have them all hopped up and I'll stop them getting real slow and I'll lose them for a while. They don't sleep on you.
Yeah. How do you feel about your fans?
Oh, I just wish there was some way that you could go around to every one of them and really show that you appreciate, you know, their lack of love. But that's impossible, really. I mean, lots of times they're crowded on the door, maybe 300 or 400 of them, crowded on the stage door, and you have to sign a few autographs and close the door, you know, and leave, because maybe the people want to close up the auditorium or something like that. It makes me feel real bad because I can't get to all of them.
Are they kids of all ages, I think?
All ages.
Mostly girls.
I
hear a woman, a middle-aged woman, say that she wanted somebody to say hello to you for her son who was in the military.
Yeah.
Do you have any real close friends from your childhood that you still see?
Yes, sir, I have quite a few. A lot of them I haven't seen in years. I have quite a few friends in Tupelo where I was born and raised. And then there's some people in Memphis now that are real close to me.
How do they feel about your success?
Well, they all seem to be backing me up, you know.
Sure. There was one of the stories that said you were a little afraid of what they'd think when you first...
Yeah, so when my first record came out, I was a little eerie of it. I thought people would laugh.
Well, did you study any dramatics in high school, or did you,
No, I didn't.
Did you get an acting
except when I was maybe in the 5th or 6th grade, I was in a few Christmas plays or something.
You think a lot of your folks, I've heard, you
know, yeah, I do.
Follow me.
Every day.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Well, my mother, especially my mother, she was always worried about, you know, a wreck or something, me getting sick. So I have to let her know, because she's not in real good health anyway, and if she worries too much, it might not be good for her. So I make it a habit of calling them every day or so.
Yeah. He just got a new house in Memphis?
Yes. They moved in Tuesday.
What kind of house is it?
Just the, it's a ranch type, seven room house.
Mm-hmm.
Three bedrooms, a den, a playroom. So, it's a pretty nice place.
Yeah, I imagine. You getting a lot of new furniture, too?
Yes, we, well, we have to have to fill seven rooms. You have to have quite a bit of furniture. This is the one off of Getwell. We just moved off of Getwell.
What does your father do now?
He takes care of all my business. In other words, he's much more important to me at home than he is on the job.
Yeah.
Because I have so much stuff piled up on me when I'm gone.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wasn't there to help me, when I got in at home, I wouldn't get a bit of rest. He takes care of everything. You know, any business that pops up, any insurance or just oodles of things I can mention, he takes care of me.
What's the Elvis Presley Productions that you mentioned?
Enterprise. Well, that's not anymore. Last year in 55, I was my manager was Bob Neal, who's a disc jockey in Memphis. And we organized Elvis Presley Enterprises and had an office. But when I signed up with Colonel Tom Parker in Nashville, we didn't figure we needed the office anymore, so he's handing everything out of Nashville.
They earn any money?
Yes, sir.
A lot. I mean, you're earning each year.
No, I
know. Are you got any special plans for what you're going to do? Stock them away?
I'm going to save every penny that I don't have to have. Because I have to spend a lot because I got lost over here. But I mean, I don't blow any unnecessary, you know?
As far as you're in the sense of Colonel Tom Parker has given you a lot of advice and help. What kind?
Everything. In other words, he's the one guy that really gave me a big break. In other words, I don't know for sure, but I don't think I would have ever been very big if it wasn't for him. Very smart.
You got a lot of sports jackets and suits. A lot of clothes.
I had quite a few.
Yeah, what happened?
Actually, in the past year, I've outgrown most of the things I've had.
Yeah, really? Still growing?
When I started singing, when I was gaining more weight, when I started singing, I weighed 153 pounds. I weigh 184 now.
Oh, you haven't grown up?
No, I haven't gotten any taller, but I mean, you know, I'm putting on a little more weight. Back to... I was playing football when I was in school, and I didn't wear enough to kind of against the big boys.